Welcome to the Resentment-Free Relationships Podcast. I'm Becky Smith, your certified life coach, here to help you go from exhausted and resentful to feeling connected and confident in your relationships. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome to the podcast. So glad to have you here, have you tuning in and listening each week. This week, I have something a little different planned for you. I was asked to give a talk in church yesterday, so I thought I would share that talk with you. But before we do that, I wanted to just share with you a little something that I experienced yesterday before I gave the talk and also as I was giving the talk. So if you know me or if you have listened to my podcast, you may have guessed that one of the struggles or challenges in my life has been social anxiety. One definition of social anxiety disorder is a chronic mental health condition in which social interactions cause irrational anxiety. For people with social anxiety disorder, everyday social interactions cause irrational anxiety, fear, self-consciousness, and embarrassment. And I would say that I fit into all of those. It resulted in my shyness. I can say that I feel like I have overcome it. I have overcome social anxiety and I have overcome shyness. Doesn't mean that I have cured it. It means that I can manage it. It means that I know how to deal with it. As you would guess, being asked to speak in church would bring up some of that social anxiety. But it wasn't in being asked to talk or it wasn't in preparing the talk. It was as I was sitting on the bench waiting for my turn to talk. And I could feel my heart wanting to leap out of my chest. My throat started to just constrict and my tongue started to swell up and I felt like I had this big frog in my throat. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to speak. Another thing that happens for me is that my voice will start to shake. And when that happens, I really have no control over it. So I was starting to feel all the signs of this anxiety as I was sitting there. I decided to practice what I preached. I started doing breath work and breathing exercises as I was sitting there. I started doing thought work. I started repeating mantras and I started feeling my feelings. I was doing all of them. And let me tell you that it really helped. It took my anxiety level that was up at an 8 or a 9 and dropped it down to a 2 before I actually gave my talk. When I got up to give my talk, the anxiety was there, but it was just more like a companion, a low level feeling in my body instead of this urgent panic within my body. That transformation, that turnaround to me is just amazing. If you could have told me that this is where I would be in the future because of all the work I've done, I don't know if I would have believed you that it was possible because it was such a big problem in my life. And the reason that I bring this up is because I am doing another yoga life coaching workshop next month, September 30th. It's a Saturday again, and it is from 4 to 6 p.m., and it's local here in Verado, and it is on anxiety because I really feel like I have all the tools and the experience to help anyone who is struggling. And it doesn't just have to be social anxiety, but I am not talking about clinical anxiety, where what you really need is help from a psychiatrist or psychologist and medication. I am talking about more of everyday anxiety, that I can really help you with. That is why I'm putting on the workshop called Find Your Calm. We are going to use all the tactics that I just talked about, and then we get to use another one, which I couldn't really do up on the stand in church, which is yoga. I mean, I guess I could have tried, but we're going to put all these together, the breath work, mantra, meditation, yoga, life coaching, thought work, mindset coaching. We're going to put it all together, and I'm going to give you the tools to be able to manage your anxiety and to overcome it. Because being able to manage my anxiety helps me to do the things that I really want to do. Because it might seem weird, but I actually really wanted to give that talk. I was really happy when they asked me to talk in church because I feel like that I have a lot to say and there's things I want to share. I was excited about giving that talk and I really wanted to do it. I was so grateful that I was able to do it in a manner that was pleasing to me, that felt good to me. So if that appeals to you at all, you can go to yogaascension.com, go to the menu, and go to events and workshops and sign up because it is a limited space, so you want to get your spot. It's going to be so helpful for you and so many good tools and the beginning to really change your life and the trajectory of where you're going. So check that out. And then without further ado, let's get into my talk. Recently, we added a new addition to our family, a puppy. We already have a 3-year-old dog, so it's been super adventurous. And the other day, we needed to leave, and I was debating on where to put the puppy. I didn't want to put her in her kennel because she was making lots of messes in her kennel and she's just screaming and yelping. And so I thought, since it was a rare 80-degree day in Arizona in the summer, that I could put her and Lola outside. I made sure they had food and water. I made sure they had shade and that everything was fine. And then we went on our merry way. When we got back, we realized that all was not well when we were gone. Both of the dogs were at the doggy door because I had closed the doggy door from the inside, and they were frantically ripping that doggy door apart, putting their paws all over the door, scratching it. They ripped off the plastic part of the door, and they even actually damaged the doggy door. So they damaged the very thing that gave them freedom and gave them access to the inside. They also failed to realize that they had everything that they needed at the time. They had food, water, they had shelter, they had the company of each other, they had everything they needed, but they were so focused on getting back into the house, on getting to what they perceived as comfort, as safety, as even love. But they had everything they needed around them. I also want to note that when we did come home, Lola, the older dog, was acting in a really shameful way. Like she was feeling a lot of shame for what she had done to the door. She knew she wasn't supposed to be doing that, and so she was totally doing this shame walk. And when I think of this scenario, I think about myself, and I think about my own journey with trying to incorporate some of the gospel principles in my life, and namely the one of come follow me, which is just a pattern of scripture study that we have adopted as our church. Now, in the past, come follow me has sometimes felt like that for me. I felt like there was one right way to do it, one way to get God's approval and God's love by doing this program the right way, not realizing that, first of all, that isn't even the point, but not realizing that I had everything I needed within me, around me. I was making it too hard and too complicated in the process. So today I want to share with you 4 ways that I have learned by experience to make Come Follow Me a consistent habit in my life. I put it in an acronym, so it's just easier to remember. And that acronym is USED. U is for Understanding, Doctrine, Principle, and Application. S is for Small and Simple. E is for Experiment. And D is for Drop the Judgment. Elder Bednar has taught about the difference between doctrine, principle, and application. He says that doctrine is the eternal, unchanging, and simple truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Principles are doctrinally based guidelines and direction. A principle is not a behavior or a specific action. Rather, a principle is a guideline for the behavior or the action. An application are actions and behavior. They are what we do. And I think of applications, I also think of apps, like apps on our phone. They are a tool that helps us to do something, to accomplish something. An example would be, doctrine is Jesus is the Christ. The principle would be faith in Jesus Christ. And the application can be varied. It can be, I have faith as I pray. I have faith as I'm giving service. I have faith as I'm reading my scriptures. That is the actual behavior that I'm doing, and can be very different at different times and different circumstances. Now, to give a non-gospel related example, when I was a young mother, I really struggled with having a schedule for my kids as far as their sleeping, when they slept and when they woke up. I didn't have a designated nap time where I darkened the room, I put them in their bed, or even a really scheduled bedtime with a routine, like giving them a bath every night and getting them to bed at an exact time. I didn't have that, and I felt like there was something wrong with me because I didn't. A lot of people, well-intentioned people in my family, told me I was doing it wrong. And when I looked at all the books that said for parenting or child raising, they all said I was doing it wrong. It seemed like I was just getting it all wrong. But now as I look back at that, I can see where if I had understood doctrine, principles, and application, that it would have made a difference for me. So the doctrine is that humans need sleep. That is a truth that cannot really be disputed. Humans need sleep. The principle is that humans need sleep, so they should, rough guideline, get about 8 hours a night. If you're younger, maybe a nap or two during the day. That's it. That's the principle. Now the application might look like that 1 o'clock nap every day for someone, but it might not at all. And it's okay if it doesn't. For me, it looked like my child just passing out on the steps in his Buzz Lightyear costume, or finding another one face down on the tile because he was tired. He learned the cues of his body of when he was tired and when he would go to sleep. Now, sometimes I did put them down at naps in their beds, but they learned how to sleep anywhere. And it really worked out for me and for my lifestyle, the way I applied that doctrine and that principle to my life. I remember getting a compliment from someone, at least I took it as a compliment, where they said, "Wow, your kids can sleep anywhere." And they can, and they did. Like, they would just fall asleep on my shoulder at church, or they fall asleep in the car, or they fall asleep because they were tired and they learned how to do that. So that's just another example of seeing the difference between those and why it matters to see that. So S, small and simple. No matter what habit you're trying to implement in your life, if you are not LDS and this is kind of not making sense, some of these words I'm using, I want you to just insert habit, okay? Whatever habit you're trying to instill or change in your life, whether that's eating better, exercising, going to bed early, any of those habits, you can put them in here. So small and simple. There is a scripture, Alma 37:6, that reads, "Now you may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means in many instances doth confound the wise." So I have learned a concept called floors and ceilings. And that is when you take a goal that you want or a new habit you want to create and you see the ceiling. So you see the top ultimate ideal that you want. In a lot of ways, we do this around January 1st, right? We're like, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour every day at 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to do cardio at a level 10. And I'm going to eat salads for every meal. And, right, we just like make it this big, huge goal, which is great, which is the ideal. But what's the real truth, the human truth of that? Do we really do that? Oh, that's really hard to maintain and really hard to do. So instead, it's good to see our ceiling, but we really need a floor. And a floor is the bare minimum that you can do. It should be something that you do in under a minute. So it's something that can be a placeholder for you while you are building up this habit. It doesn't mean you have to stay there, that you can only do the minimum. It is just the starting point and the placeholder. You can always start stair-stepping your way up to that ceiling, but you always have your foundation of your floor. In that scripture, it talked about confounding the wise. And one of the ways I really saw this illustrated was in the power of compound interest. So I'm going to read you a little example of compound interest in seeing how the small and simple things can really add up over time. So imagine that I gave you two choices. I give you $3 million in cash today, or I give you a penny and I double it every day for 31 days. Which would you prefer? Let's say you take the $3 million now and your friend opts for doubling the penny. If you take that $3 million today, you look pretty smart on day one. When your friend gets a penny. You also look pretty smart on day five when your friend gets 16 cents. And on day 10 when he gets $5.12. 20 days later and your friend is only up to $5,243. And you're feeling pretty good. Then the magic of compound interest kicks in. Fast forward to day 31 and your friend gets $10,737,418.24 to your $3 million. Isn't that amazing? The next one is E, experiment. When you are trying to instill any new habit, you need to experiment, practice, trial and error. See what works for you, for your time of life, for your family, for your individual circumstances. And you're not always going to know what that is. You might have to try something for a while and then scratch that and start that again. Now, when it comes to Come Follow Me, one of the things that has worked for my family is a book, and it's also a podcast called 1 Minute Scripture Study. I've actually had her on this podcast before. She is my husband's cousin. Her name is Kristen Walker Smith, and she created this book, this devotional that is only 1 minute. And I really love it because I'm able to keep that floor in my family scripture study. So when we're tired, grumpy, when we just don't feel like doing it, I just say in my head, it's only a minute. I can give a minute. Even teenagers can do a minute. So we read it for a minute and we reach our floor. Now, I'm not saying we always just do the floor. Sometimes it invokes a deep conversation. Sometimes we read more than one because we've missed days. Even at a minute, we miss days. So it doesn't, like I said before, you don't have to just do the minimum, but that's the foundation. But there are all so many different ways. For my personal study, I love to listen to hour-long podcasts about it. I also like an app that is only 2 minutes that I listen to in the morning. And I know there's YouTube videos, there's websites, there's blog posts, there's the lesson manual. There's so many different ways that you can get Come Follow Me down as a habit. But don't let maybe failure of the past or not exactly knowing how to do it, don't let that deter you. Think of it as a way to find out what works for you. And then the last one, D, drop the judgment. We're so good at this, right? We're so good at judging ourselves and looking around and comparing ourselves to others, maybe even judging others for the way that they do it. But Come Follow Me is an application. It's an app of the doctrine and the principle. It is meant to help you. Just like the dogs, you have everything you need to help you. So don't use that tool as a weapon, because that's something that we do. We take something meant to help us and we turn it into a weapon. So it might be a hammer that's meant to build up and create things, and instead we use it and turn it on ourselves and beat ourselves up with it. Or we might just take that hammer, use it very improperly, holding it above our head, and it just gets super heavy and we're laden with guilt and shame, just like Lola was when we got home. She knew that she hadn't done it properly and she's caused damage, and she felt a lot of guilt and shame. There's a quote by Chieko Okazaki that reads, "Hooray for differences. Without them, there would be no harmony. In principles, great clarity. In practice, great charity." Another way to say this is, in principle, have clarity, and in practice, have charity. So yes, understand the guideline and the principle clearly, but then be kind to yourself on the way that you practice it, because it is practice and it is there to help you and not to hurt you. So just to recap, the acronym is USED, as in we want this application to be used. So U is understand the difference between doctrine, principle, and application. S is small and simple. E is experiment. And D is drop the judgment. Okay, my friends, I hope that you will apply this to your life. Like I said, if you aren't LDS, then just take a habit in your life that you can apply this to, because it works for everything. If you are LDS, then good luck on your Come Follow Me. I love to hear your ideas and things you do that work for you and your family to keep up this consistent habit. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day. Bye. If this episode resonated with you, then I know you'd love a quick one-on-one chat with me where we get to talk privately about your specific issue or concern. And you'll come away with one specific strategy that you can use today to change your life and your relationships. And the best part is, it's absolutely free. So click the link in the show notes and sign up today.